Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Strategic prayer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, like I said yesterday, prayer is a weapon. Are you listening to me? Prayer is a weapon. One day a young man said to me that I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw you. But when I looked at you, you were wearing camouflage uniform like a soldier. You had bulletproofs. You had everything. I said, hey, that's how I look in the spirit. In the spirit, you see here, I have one pack. In the spirit, I've got 8 packs like Shaka Zulu. Not 6, 8. In the spirit, I have biceps and triceps and I've got ligator. Amen. And we have weapons in the spirit. And one major weapon that we have is the weapon of prayer. I want you to believe in prayer. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. You have to believe in prayer. Prayer works. It works. It really, really works. In fact, you don't even need anybody to pray for you. Do you have a mouth? So you can pray for yourself. And God will hear and answer your prayers. But you have to believe. Jesus in the book of Mark said, I think it's Mark chapter 11. He said, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. Jesus said that even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, in other words, if your faith is like this, he said you can move mountains with your prayer. You know, it's a mountain. He said if your faith is small, it has the ability to move mountains. A mountain is a problem. A mountain is such a problem that when you look at it, you can't see the solution. But Jesus says, if you pray and you believe, your prayer can move the mountains that are facing you. If Jesus doesn't hold me, I will fall and crash to the ground. Now, there has to come a point where you really, really, really believe in your prayers. Precious, are you listening to me? You have to believe that if I pray, God will hear my prayer and answer me. No matter how dire the situation is, no matter how seemingly impossible the situation is, he can do the unthinkable. He can do the unbelievable. Amen. The Bible says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even imagine. Imagination. Haven't you imagined things before? Haven't you imagined your wedding? Haven't you imagined your husband? Haven't you imagined your house? Haven't you imagined your car? God said that your imaginations are small compared to what I can do. Your amens are not blessing me. Amen. So, it has to start somewhere. It starts by you believing in prayer. Komuta, you listen to me. It starts by you believing in prayer. Now, I'm teaching you how to pray and about prayer so that when you pray, your prayers can begin to have proofs. If you learn to pray the way I'm going to teach you, you will start to see evidence that your prayer is working. Amen. Now, when we read in the Bible, we see that a lot of men and women of God didn't just pray, but you could see that their prayers had a strategy. connected to it. Now, yesterday I showed you how Moses would enter into the presence of God. I show you a routine that always works. It's strategic. It's a strategy. One particular gentleman, I met him in the street. I told him about Jesus Christ. And he said to me, I have a problem. He said, when I pray, I feel like my prayers hit the ceiling and come back. I don't feel like my prayers reach God. How many have felt something like that before? Every now and then you feel like your prayer doesn't get where it's supposed to get. Tell your neighbor you need a strategy. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I need a strategy. So that was Moses' strategy. David also had a strategy. David's strategy was that I don't do anything before I pray. I don't do anything before I pray. And as a result of this simple strategy, David became a mighty man. Nobody could defeat David. You see, I told you if you are sleepy, just stand. You see, Mamruti has done it. Okay, I don't want sleepy eyes. If you feel sleepy, just stand and we are continuing. Amen. What was I saying? Yeah, he didn't do anything unless he prayed. Some of us, without praying, we can start a new business, you haven't prayed. You're starting a new business, you haven't prayed. Some of us, you are getting married, you haven't prayed. Hey, imagine such a huge decision like taking a life partner and you haven't prayed. Huh? Was it not in church here where I showed you how someone was about to pray? Do you remember? Was getting married, and he saw his wife changing in front of him, and the wife became an animal in front of him, while the pastor is saying, "Dearly beloved, today we have come to join together." And as the pastor is speaking, he looks into his wife's eyes, and the woman starts transforming into an animal. Nobody could see but him. And then the pastor said, "Will you, brother so-and-so, take sister so-and-so to be your wife?" And then he said, even though he's seeing, he's an animal, he said, "I do." How can you take such an important decision and you don't pray? As I was sitting here, I remembered before I got married, I used to do all-night prayers on my own. I organized in the church that I used to go to. I went to the guy who kept the keys. And every Friday night, for a while, I will talk to the guy, say, "I need the key this Friday." I'll go to church and pray from about 10 till about 6 in the morning. Alone, nobody else. And there was no electricity in the church. I used to take a candle. Huh? She remembers, she knows about it. There was no electricity and what? Yeah, I used to take candles. And I used to take a sleeping bag because I was coming from work, so sometimes I'll feel sleepy. And that church had a little stage. And sometimes when I get so tired I can't pray, I lay my sleeping bag in church and I'll sleep there. Then I'll wake up in the morning having woken up from church, from praying, just before I got married to my wife. And I remember my prayer topic to God. I said, "I want a wife shorter." My wife, come here, let me, I want to. I said, "I want a wife shorter than me." That was my prayer topic. I don't know what you want. Is she shorter than me? Then I said, Lord, me, I like yellow bone. Is she a yellow bone or what? Yeah. And I said, Lord, I just want a woman who's going to love me. Do you love Pastor?
Very much.
Jesus. Hallelujah. But you will hold on to Johnny Bravo. To Susan. If your name is Susan, I'm not talking about you. It's another Susan I'm talking about. And you will not even pray. Thank you, Mama Ruth. Put your hands together for Mama Ruth. Hallelujah. So the strategy that David had was that if I'm going to do anything, I must first pray. And that strategy of David made him a conqueror. There's nothing that he couldn't do. Any project that he went to, his projects were war. Every battle that he went into, he defeated. Any enemy that he fought, he defeated. Because he had the strategy that if I'm going to go into something, I must pray first. Spend time talking to God. One day he asked, an enemy was coming for them. And one day he asked God, he said, God, should I go fight? And God will say, go and fight, I'm with you. Whenever he heard God say that, he knew that I've defeated them. Before he even went to the fight. One day God said to him, no, don't fight them. And God gave them a strategy and he said, go this way and go this way. When you get there, do this. David never went to a fight without praying. Lately, I'm developing the culture that before I finish praying every morning, like today, what day is today? Saturday. I will say to God, Lord, today is Saturday. I thank you for Saturday. Now in the name of Jesus, I come against any challenger that wants to meet me on this Saturday. And before I leave my place, I overcome all of them in the name of Jesus. I decree that the devil is under my feet. Lord, break the backs of my enemies. In the name of Jesus, and give me the head of my Goliath this Saturday. When I finish that prayer, I know nothing that comes against me on that Saturday will ever conquer me, because I conquered them in the morning. So I've learned to use that strategy. One day I was going to fetch my daughter, and I was about to turn, and there was a car coming. And I was just waiting for it to pass before I could turn. Then it turned, and all of a sudden there was another car, and I didn't see it. And I was about to go in. And then I just saw it last minute. And I said, in my heart, I said, ah, devil, you tried, but I defeated you in the morning. This accident, I avoided it in the morning. So that is the strategy that David had. And that caused him to succeed in everything that he did. As a child of God, we have to learn how to pray using strategies. Are you listening to me, somebody? Yeah. I hope after today, you will never go into something without spending adequate time with God. Even if it's a job, do we not all want jobs? Do we not all want higher paying jobs? But do you know that some jobs can kill you? Some jobs can kill you. Last year, I saw on the news that someone hanged themselves, someone who worked in parliament. Who would not want to work in parliament? It's such a prestigious job. You'll be seeing the president, you'll be seeing all these people we see on TV, you'll be seeing them almost every day. But someone, even with that nice job, that job was killing them to the point that they decided to take their lives. So a job can kill you. And you wouldn't know unless you pray before you take it. a very important strategy. Pray before you go into anything. One day, I was talking to a certain lady. And this lady, we were talking, and she was telling me about her past life before she came into Christ. And then she was telling me about this brother, this Johnny Bravo type of brother. And as she was talking, just from what she was saying, I could pick up that this brother was not a good brother. I didn't know him. I was just listening to what she's saying. Then I asked her a question. I said, did this guy beat you? Like, did he lay his hands on you? Did he ever beat you? And she ignored my question and she started saying, asking other things. Then I asked her again. I said, look, I'm asking you, did this guy ever beat you? Only to find that that guy used to beat her to come nice. Then I said to her, why would you stay with someone who's always beating you? Then she said to me, oh, he looked like R. Kelly. You see, people who don't pray before they go into things, they're interested in people who look like R. Kelly. The same R. Kelly who is in jail today. Somebody say strategy. I can hear you. Strategy. Tell a neighbor, say strategy. Don't pray ignorantly. Don't just pray like you don't know what you are doing. I don't want people who don't understand to pray. And I don't want people who don't understand the power of prayer. You have to understand how to approach prayer and what to do when you are praying and the outcome that you want from your praying. That's why many people are discouraged about praying, because they don't have any strategy concerning their prayer lives. Hallelujah. So David, one day, his son decided that I want my father's kingdom. And David had to run away. And the only way that the son could do that was because God was angry with David. Hallelujah. Then David's advisor, if my memory serves me right, his name is Ahithophel. Paulina, Ahithophel, the Bible says that his advice was so powerful. When he talks, it is as though God is talking. That's the advice that Ahithophel gave. So Ahithophel was with David's son. Hello, are you here? Yes. Tell a neighbor, no sleeping in this church. I'm watching you carefully. So Ahithophel had joined David's son. And they were against David. Do you know what Ahithophel said? He said to Absalom, which was David's son, he said, send me with, I think he said, 11,000 soldiers to kill your father. In other words, he was saying, you cannot kill David with less than 11,000 people. You must have 11,000 to kill David. Because David was a strategist when it came to prayer. Let me show you how David prayed. And you tell me if you want to fight with this man. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Mamruta, can you help me to? I just want you to read the scripture for me. Okay, are you here? Romans chapter 11, verse 9 and verse 10. I want you to underline the scripture if the Bible is yours. Yes. Are you all there? Yes.
And David said, let their table be made a snare.
Pause. This man is praying against his enemies. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He said, let their table what?
Be made a snare.
A snare. In other words, where they eat, let it be a trap.
Yeah.
As they are eating at home with their wives, with their children, let that table become a trap. This is David's prayers. Continue.
And a trap.
Uh-huh.
And a stumbling block.
And a stumbling block.
And a recompense unto them.
Uh-huh.
Let their eyes be darkened.
Let their eyes be darkened.
That
Lord, they must stop seeing. These are David's prayers. Do you want to fight this guy? You are busy eating at home. He's saying that table that you are eating in, from today it becomes a trap. From today it becomes a stumbling block. What's going to happen? Your children will fight against you. What's going to happen? Your wife will fight against you. You won't even think to come and fight this man. He's beating you in his room. He's fighting you in his room. He's turning everything against you while he's sitting in his room. Yes.
Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back all way.
Ah, and bow down their back all way. I like this prayer. Jesus. What verse is that?
Verse 11.
All right.
Oh, verse 10.
Verse
sorry.
10. Read it one more time from verse 9.
And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always.
Amen. There are some enemies that you can't see because they've dealt with you that you become blind. They are dealing with your life. They are dealing with your job. They are dealing with your marriage. And you can't see because they've blinded you. So David knew the strategy. He knew how to deal with them. Thank you, Mom Ruth. When Ahithophel was with his son and was asking for 11,000 people to come and fight David, do you know that the prayer that David prayed? He said, Lord, let him die quickly. Quickly. Let him die quickly. David could pray and kill you with his prayers. So he knew the power of prayer. He knew that God can deal with enemies. And as a result, nobody could defeat him. Not even one person. He killed giants. David was a giant slayer. There were giants that came in the book of Genesis, and God wanted to finish them. And David was the guy assigned to finish all the giants on the earth. How did he do it? He knew the strategy of prayer. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody?
Amen.
Daniel was also a strategist, but his strategy was different to that of David. You see, David prayed like that because he was a warrior. He had many enemies. So his prayer life was very heavy. One man of God said that someone had come to visit his home, and he overheard him praying it at night. And then one day he went to someone in the church and he said, hey, I don't want to be that man of God's enemy. When he heard the prayer topics that were coming out of that man of God, he said, look, I don't want to be his enemy. And I remember that man of God said that, I don't pray against anyone. I just say, Lord, my enemies. So if you decide to be my enemy, Ike, that one is your own one. Hallelujah. So Daniel was not a soldier like David. He was not a warrior. But he also had his strategies that worked for him. Now, Daniel called God the revealer of secrets. So Daniel said, I know that God has the ability to show me secrets. And most of his prayer topics, if you read the book of Daniel, you will see he's asking God to show him secrets. Are you listening to me? Through Daniel's strategy of knowing God as a revealer of secrets, he just kept rising in life. He just kept rising. He didn't go to a sangoma. He didn't go to Mamsebeleti. He didn't go to where? Anywhere that you can think of. He just knew that I can go to God, and I know that he can reveal secrets. And every time Daniel received a revelation of something secret, he elevated in life. That was his strategy. Am I talking to you? Yeah. Daniel was a slave in Babylon. A slave. A slave is the lowest. Are you listening to me? He was a slave. But a slave as he was, he kept on rising. He rose to the point that one particular king wanted to make him president in Babylon. Why? Because God kept on revealing secrets. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody? Can I hear a louder amen? So today I want to teach you a very simple secret, and then we will go home. Amen. Is this the time? My plan was to release you at 3 o'clock. When did I get the mic? Did anyone check the time? I got the mic at 3. Huh? 10 to 3. Okay. I'm gonna preach for 10 more minutes. Okay. I'm gonna speed over this thing, okay? I want to teach you the strategy of praying for long hours. There's power in learning to pray for long hours. Are you listening to me? If you can honestly, if I can ask you and you honestly answer yourself, all right? I don't want you to tell me, but just think about it and answer yourself honestly. On your own, can you pray for 10 minutes? On your own, don't answer me, just answer yourself. On your own, can you pray for 30 minutes? On your own. On your own, can you pray for 1 hour? On your own. Not that it's a church gathering. Not church all-night prayer. On your own, can you pray for 2 hours? On your own, can you pray for 3 hours? On your own, can you pray for 4 hours? On your own, can you pray for 5 hours? Now, there is strength in being able to pray for long hours. It's a strategy. I said it's a what? It's a strategy. Now, look at this building that we are building. When did we start? We started August last year. Do you understand? And we are still on the way. There are things that take time to accomplish. It's just a reality. There are things that take time to accomplish. And there are certain things that God wants to give you, but he can't give you in a 5-minute prayer session. It can't happen. In a 10-minute prayer session. In a 1-hour prayer session. There are things that you need to pray for months before they come to pass. There are things that you need to pray for years before they come to pass. But the problem is that the church is not patient. The church wants everything now. 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 But there are things. Turn your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Mom Ruti, if you'll help me and read for me again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Are you still with me? You look like you want to sleep. I'm about to finish.
Are you there? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7.
Are we there?
Ask. Ask and it shall be given you.
Ask and what?
It shall be given.
It shall be given to you.
See,
let's pause there. This scripture should end here. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
You don't need to say anything else after this. Ask and it shall be given to you. That's enough. Oh?
Amen.
But the scripture, does it end there, Mom Ruth?
No.
Okay, please read for us.
Seek and it shall find.
So there's a prayer level where you are asking and it's given to you. But there's a prayer level where there must be seeking. Seeking is searching. You are searching. You are searching. Now, what you can get by asking is not what you can get by seeking, if you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Like, for example, if you are looking for gold or diamonds, you cannot just bump into it anywhere. People dig. They dig. Have you seen the trucks in the mines? Have you seen the equipment in the mines? Huge like this. Why? They are searching for gold. So what you get by asking is not what you get by seeking. Otherwise, the scripture would have ended on ask. It means that there are things that you cannot get until you seek. So your prayer has to be a searching, seeking type of prayer before you can get some things from God. Continue.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Then there are those where you have to knock. And it must be open to you. If you don't knock, if you don't get to the point where you are knocking, you will not receive what you are looking for. Continue.
For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Mm-hmm.
And he that seeketh, findeth.
Mm-hmm.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be open.
Is that it?
Or what man is there for you?
There and there. Thank you. Put your hands together for the word of God. Hallelujah. So it could be possible that all you're praying is asking prayer, and your prayer has not become seeking prayer. Your prayer has not become knocking prayer. Now, if you want to get heavy things from God, you have to learn to pray for long hours. Praying is like unlocking things in the heavens. Are you listening to me? And I know my younger brother likes to play video games. And if you play video games, you know, there are levels in the game. True or not true? Let's all come quickly. Let me ask you questions. Give him a mic quickly. Now, when you play games, is your mic working?
Yes.
All right. When you play games, are there levels or is just one level the whole game?
There are levels.
There are levels.
Yes.
Would you, most games, do they have two levels, three levels? How many levels sometimes?
There's a lot of levels.
Give us a number, just.
Maybe I'd say.
Can you hear him? Uh huh. People who are not used to mics, we are seeing them today. How many levels roughly would be in a game?
Maybe more than 100.
100 levels in one game. Now, just in the levels, would there be different things that maybe you have to unlock?
Yes, there would be different things.
Do you understand what I'm asking him? And how do you unlock them? Do you just press a button and lock, or you what do you have to do?
No, you have to find them. You have to work for them.
You have to find them. You have to work for them. They're not ready sitting there for you. And this is even a game. How much more about life and reality? 100 levels. And in the levels, there are things that you must unlock. The things that you unlock, do they help you for the next levels?
Yes, they do. Ah!
And it's a game. Thank you. Put your hands together for him. And this is how life is. But for you to be able to unlock certain things in life, for you to be able to unlock the type of job you want, for you to be able to unlock the type of family you want, for you to be able to unlock the type of spiritual life you want, for you to be able to unlock the type of power that you want, it is by praying, and not just by praying, but by learning to pray for long hours. I said for what? Long hours. I didn't say long minutes. I said long what? Hours. You are not dealing with, you are dealing with God. And he knows that certain things are precious. And you have to fight for you to get certain things. And when you pray for long hours, it's a strategy. You pray, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. Next day, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. There's a man of God called Yong Ye Cho, and he started his church. And when he started his church, there was a lot of bewitchment, like we saw with Simon the sorcerer. And he said when he started his church, he only had 5 members. For months, just 5 members in the church. And no matter what he did, the church will just have 5 people. But he said in those days, he used to pray 5 hours a day. He said that it was not his plan to pray 5 hours a day, but he said that he didn't have anything to do. And he says he used to fast all the time. And he said that those days he was very poor. And so he was fasting automatically. 5 hours a day. And then in his church, he started what they call a morning prayer. Oh, can I even start it here? 4 a.m., everyone would come to church. Jesus, can I start it here? I don't want to be disappointed. I'm training you. One day we will be able to do such things. So, one day, one of these people came to him and said, "We don't like your church. Please remove your church." He said, "If you don't remove your church, we will come and remove the church and destroy it." Then they said to him, "We will challenge you." You understand what I'm saying? He said, "In this community, there's a woman who has been paralyzed for years. And she even had a child, and when she gave birth to that child, the child is also paralyzed." And he said, "If your God can heal that woman, then we will leave. But if your God cannot heal that woman, then you must leave." The man just started the church. He had 5 people. And now he's been challenged with something like this. Oh man, he said he prayed. And they said to him, we give you 30 days. If your God cannot heal him, heal her in 30 days, then you must pack up your tent and go. Are you still here? So Dr. Yongi Cho said he used to pray 5 hours a day. All those 30 days, he was praying. Then when he finished praying, they would go to that woman's house. He said when they got there, the house was stinking. Because the woman couldn't take care of herself and she couldn't take care of her child. They were paralyzed. So he said they came and they cleaned the house. They cleaned. They cleaned everyone. They cleaned the child and the woman. And then afterwards, they preached to that woman and they wanted to lead her to Christ. And the woman said, no, I don't want to be born again. And she said, after we've come to clean for you, we cook for you, we take care of you. And the woman said, nope, I don't want your Jesus. So day after day went. 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, and they are getting closer to that 30 days. Are you still here?
Amen.
Now, by this time, Dr. Yongi Cho's prayers were becoming desperate because he realized that in a few days, if this woman doesn't rise up, I lose my church, I lose my ministry, I lose everything. So he just decided to just keep praying. Then one day, on the 30th day, in the morning, they went to church at 4 a.m. Are you here? And he said they started praying. Then as they were praying, all of a sudden, he saw a mob of people coming towards his church. As he saw them, he said, oh no, they've come to destroy my church. They've come to kick me out of this community. They were making noise and they were coming. When they got into the churchyard, she said, but that woman looks familiar. So the woman said, Pastor, when he went out, to his shock, it was the woman who was paralyzed. And the woman said, look, I am healed. And the pastor was as surprised as he didn't understand what is going on. So the woman said, Pastor, this morning I was lying there as usual. Then I heard your voice. And you said to me, stand up and come here. And then all of a sudden I received strength. I was able to get out. And when I came outside to come and thank you, you were gone. And the person said, oh, but woman, I've been here all the time. He said, Pastor, it's your voice. I heard you. You stood outside my house. You said, rise up and come here. Then the woman made such a havoc. The whole community came out and they saw her walking and they knew that she was paralyzed. That day, 300 people joined the church. That day, his church moved from 5 to 300 in one day. What unlocked it? Long hours of prayer. Now I'm talking about the church, but in your life, anything that you desire, you have to develop the strategy of praying for long hours. You have to learn it. Now, one major thing that will help you to pray for long hours is speaking in tongues. Praying in your own understanding will limit you dearly. Me, myself, I can't pray for 1 hour in my own understanding. I'll run out of words. I remember some years ago, my pastor called us to pray from 9 a.m. to midnight. When he said it, I said, oh God, what am I going to say all this time? But unlike most Christians, I went there even though I didn't know what I'm going to do. I felt it's a good thing to be there. Hallelujah. So I went and the pastor gave us a prayer topic. And the prayer topic was, we are praying for the will of God to happen in our lives. For all those hours, do you know what I did? I just said, Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will. I chanted that thing the whole day. And when I get tired of saying, Lord, let your will be done, I will change it and say, Thy will, O Lord. Thy will, O Lord. Thy will. I just chanted it. I couldn't speak in tongues. So I just chanted the same words over and over and over. And I believed that my God hears me. By the way, that's when I received my tongues. I think my God saw that this guy is trying, Shem. Let me help him out. And then I started speaking in tongues that day. Hallelujah. So it is very difficult to pray for long hours when you cannot speak in tongues. So the first thing that you must desire is the ability to speak in tongues. It's important. When you can speak in tongues, you can pray for 1 week straight without stopping, as long as you are able to stay awake. Are you listening to me? Tell a neighbor, say, neighbor, you must speak in tongues. You must. Tomorrow. Hello? How many cannot speak in tongues here? Lift up your hand, let me see. Right. Tomorrow, you will speak in tongues. Ah, you are not having faith. I said, tomorrow you will speak in tongues. I said, tomorrow you will speak in tongues. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Tomorrow I'll teach you about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Tomorrow, by the time the service finishes, you'll be speaking in tongues. Riba katala. Lo brodege bagazuda. Brodege dala brodega zavrubaga dagaduzi kadus. You will be speaking in tongues tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can I hear a louder amen?
Speaking
in tongues is a master strategy for praying for long hours. It's a master strategy. It will help you because praying for long hours unlocks things. It unlocks your destiny. It unlocks your future. It unlocks the blessings that God has for you, which are in heavenly places. Praying for long hours gives you the ability to go to heaven, take your blessings, and bring them to the earth. When you learn to speak for long hours. Hallelujah. So I want you to challenge yourself. If you pray for 10 minutes, challenge to go for 30. If you pray for 30, I challenge you to pray for an hour. If you pray for an hour, push it to 2 hours. Challenge yourself. And learn to be an individual who prays for long hours. Hallelujah. Are you going to try it?
Amen.
Yeah. Since you were born again, you are praying for 10 minutes. When are you going to learn to pray for longer? Since you are born again, the only prayer you know is, Father, bless our food in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't unlock anything with those prayers. Hallelujah. And there are some people who cannot pray at all. At all. One day, we were at church, we were in a prayer meeting. And our pastor called a certain lady. And she said, sister, please close the service for us. You know, just to close in prayer. Ah! The sister fumbled and fumbled and fumbled. Do you know that she didn't say one word? And the pastor had to now close the prayer. So there are people who, if you can't even pray, just to close, Lord, thank you for this service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Just to say, how many minutes was it? 5 seconds, 3 seconds. And you can't do that. That means at home, there is zero prayer, zero. Zero. Should I call you to come and close for us today? Will you come and close for us? I don't want people to tremble here. Hallelujah. So I'm saying something very important, ladies and gentlemen. For lack of time, I would have shown you certain things that happens when you pray for long hours. There are things that only happen when you learn to pray for long. Hallelujah. pray for long hours. Pray for long hours. Pray for long hours. Pray for what? For long hours. Hallelujah. Are you gonna do it? Just write this quickly. Praying for long hours makes you grow spiritually. Praying for long hours makes you grow spiritually. Number two, praying for long hours gives you victory in life. Praying for long hours gives you victory in life. How many wants to have victory in life? Must pray for long hours. Praying for long hours refreshes and rejuvenates you. It refreshes and rejuvenates you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes when you are walking with God, you feel depressed, you feel weak, you feel like you are losing. But when you pray for long hours, you regain that strength. You become refreshed and you become ready for the battle. Amen. Praying for long hours causes you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praying for long hours causes you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praying for long hours releases the supernatural in your life. Praying for long hours releases the supernatural in your life. You get exposed to the supernatural. You start seeing visions. You start dreaming dreams. You start hearing the voice of God. You start seeing angels. You start praying for people and they are healed. It releases the supernatural. Hallelujah. And finally, praying for long hours releases the miraculous. In other words, when you pray for long hours, you will start seeing miracles in your life. Amen. How many want to see miracles in their lives? Receive all the miracles you desire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Put your hands together for yourselves, for coming yesterday night, today, and even now. May the living God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, before I officially close today, I want to pray with you like I told you. I hope you have thought about what you want your God to do for you. And I will stand in faith with you and ask God to give you what you are asking for. Hallelujah.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you're blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com. Or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.